Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 11. Proverbs, chapter number 11. Proverbs, chapter 11, and I want to begin reading in verse number 24. Proverbs, chapter 11, verse number 24. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Our Father, we thank you so much for the time that we can have together this morning in Sunday school. We thank you for this week and what you've done and the opportunity we have to be reminded of that which is so dear to the heart of God, and that is getting the gospel around the world. We thank you for all that we've heard, and thank you for our hearts that have been challenged. I pray throughout this day that you would minister to us in a very special way. I pray that you'd help us to make spiritual decisions that will help impact what we do for the world. Now take me this morning, bless the teaching time, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. This is the 35th consecutive missions conference that we've had as a local church. We usually start on a Wednesday night. And, you know, a missions conference, I believe, without a doubt, is spiritual business. I mean, we're making spiritual decisions. So we try to do some things. First of all, I've learned over the years that a missions conference is not a successful missions conference just because you have a speaker. It takes having the right combination of missionaries. What I like to see, you pray, you seek missionaries to come, you look at their presentations and you hear their testimonies, and you want them to help to prepare the hearts, because Sunday, all day, we call it finale Sunday. In other words, we're going to put into practice by the decisions we make financially what we've experienced this week in our hearts. So we're going to put it in action. So we're going to do all of that. So missionaries help to do that. And you listen, you watch the DVDs, and you listen to their testimonies, and all of that is preparation to help us to make decisions that's going to impact the world. So that's what it's all about. Now, I believe, and right here at Crossroads Baptist Church, we know this. I teach and preach every missions conference. The mission of the church is missions. In other words, the church has a responsibility to reproduce itself around the world. So now I know biblically, and here you can see this very clearly, God has given the church the plan for evangelizing the world. We don't need a new plan, all right? We've got one that's authentic. It was given by Christ to the church as a command, all right? So when I look at that, I understand that the church is not an organization, it's an organism. All right, so God has given this organism a plan that's authentic. In that plan, there's a mandate. Missions is not an option. We have been mandated by Almighty God to reproduce ourselves around the world. So we have this mandate. So in that plan that's been mandated by Christ, he gives the church a ministry that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl can be involved in. That ministry is, first of all, every person, we heard this Wednesday night, ought to be involved in evangelizing, winning sinners to Christ. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Once those sinners are won to Christ, then we are to see them baptized into this organism called the local church. Once they are baptized into the local church, then we are to disciple or teach them. Now, if you win sinners to Christ, get them baptized into the church, then teach them the principles of the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit of God can mobilize those people to carry out his plan to reach the world. All right, so every person who's saved in a part of the Crossroads Baptist Church ought to be trying to win somebody to Jesus, get them baptized in the church, disciple or teach them, so God has something to work with. Missionaries are not found in Walmart, okay? You don't find them in CVS. You find them in local New Testament churches where the Holy Spirit can reach down and call them to go. So you come to the church, you ought to be willing to go. You ought to be willing to give and pray and all of that. So that's the plan of God. With that plan, we have a promise of his direct presence and divine providence. And God says the plan is authentic. The promise is assured. God never fails in keeping his promise. Then we have, he's made available to the church his power to accomplish getting the plan around the world. And years ago, I thought about that. Here we have God giving the church an authentic plan, giving the church an assured promise, giving the church and making available his power, but missions can never be advanced without the provisions of the people of God. God chose people to get the gospel around the world. So in a missions conference, here's what we're looking for. Threefold things we look for. We want every person, first of all, to give himself to Christ. All right, that's where it starts. I want Jesus Christ to have the first place in my life. So we're trying to get every church member to first give himself to Christ. Then we want you to understand, if the church has been given the plan, which it has been, then we want every person who's given himself to Christ to give his support to the church. In other words, when you make yourself available, your heart, you hear, you're helping the church carry out the plan that God has given the local church. Then the third thing we look for, we want everybody who's given himself to Christ, giving his support to the church, to give his substance for the cause of getting the gospel around the world. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the attitude for giving your substance to get God's plan with that assured promise, that available power, advanced around the world. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, gives us what I call a practical precept that if you get a hold of it, it will impact and influence how I give, what I put on my faith promise commitment card here this morning in Sunday school, Sunday morning service, and in the evening service as well. He gives us here a practical precept that will impact how we give. He gives the example of two farmers. Each farmer had some seed. One farmer looked at the circumstances and say, you know, this is not the best time to be able to sow this seed, but looked at the circumstances and in spite of the circumstances, sowed the seed and he benefited. He had more. The other one, thinking not about the others, but thinking about himself, held on to his seed and he ended up in poverty. I want you to think about that when it comes to giving. We find today that some people will give of what he or she has to benefit other people or help the cause, and they end up having more. You'll find another person who thinks only about himself, holds on to what he has, and ends up in poverty. That's kind of the attitude when it comes. We have to be careful how we manage and how we handle what doesn't belong to us, but belongs to Almighty God. So I want you to think about that. In the middle of that, those three verses I just read, he made another statement. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, you know, liberal is not oftentimes a good word. I'm going to make this personal about me. There's some things I don't want to be known to be liberal about. For instance, I don't want to be known as a preacher or a person who has a liberal philosophy. I don't want to be known that way. I don't want to be known as a person who's liberal about my political views. Everybody got quiet. Let's skip and go past that one real fast. I don't want to be known as a person who's liberal when it comes to music. I don't like dead music, but I think music ought to be in the church, ought to be different in the world.
All right.
So I don't want to be liberal when it comes to music. Here's something else. I don't want to be known as a preacher who's liberal when it comes to standards. I believe Christian people ought to look like Christians. All right, so there's, and I don't know where you are when it comes to that. I don't want to, as a pastor for 30 years, a preacher for 40 years, and preaching in a lot of different places, we spend a lot of time fighting with church people, trying to get them from being liberal in philosophy, liberal in music, liberal in political views, liberal in standards. And you fight all the time. People have left churches, including this church, because they want to be liberal. Well, I'm going to help you out this morning. I'm going to give you something biblical that is okay to be liberal about. And I want you to determine this day, God help me, when it comes to this subject matter that we're dealing with today, I want to be as liberal as I can be. Because the Bible says the liberal soul, it's talking about a soul of blessing or a giving soul. A liberal soul shall be made fat. And I'm not talking about putting on pounds. I'm talking about putting on blessings. So it says, if I'm liberal when it comes to how I give to help get the gospel around the world, the Bible, this inspired and inerrant word of God tells me that I'm going to be blessed. So I want you to think about when you make your faith promise commitment here this morning, how liberal am I? Am I as liberal about giving the missions that I am about my philosophy, about my music, and about my standards? If people just got as liberal about those things when it comes to giving, we'd do okay when it comes to faith promise. Let's look at this, what the Bible talks about when it talks about a liberal soul, a soul of blessing, a giving soul, where I'm investing my resources in the work of God. It says in verse 24, there is the scattereth and yet increaseth. The first thing I noticed from this precept about a liberal soul or a soul of blessing is one who is generous when it comes to giving. Generous. In other words, I've reached a point in my life where if God has given the church this plan, and if I've given myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm giving my support to the local church, I want to be as generous as I can when it comes to my substance that I'm managing for Almighty God to be used to evangelize the world. That means I'm going to involve my resources in the work of God. It means that I'm going to invest my resources in the work of God. It means, as I've done for over 35 years, I'm going to increase my giving to world evangelization because I want to be generous in giving. Why? The generous soul shall be made fat, shall be blessed. So I want to make sure that I'm involving and investing my money or my resources into the work of God because the Bible says I'm going to be blessed. Now, if I'm going to be generous in my giving, I want to make sure that I'm giving it in the right place. I think that a generous giver or a soul of blessing or a liberal soul is one who's learned how to be a church giver. You know, when you give your pay your tithes and offerings and give to into the local church, I mean, you're laying up treasures in heaven where it's going to count. So I don't make sure on the first day of the week that I am putting my tithes and offerings into the work of God because that's where God's going to bless. So I want to be a church giver. I want to be consistent giver. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Let me give you what I believe are the principles of giving. Here's what I've learned, practice since getting saved, 3 weeks after I got saved. I believe giving begins, first of all, with paying. I believe before I can ever give God anything, I must first pay God what I owe him. Now, the tithe is the Lord. Before the law, during the law, after the law, I can't spend what is not mine. The tithe is the Lord. You heard him say, well, where is Joe? We haven't seen him in church here recently. Haven't you heard? Joe's in the hospital. What's he doing in the hospital? God's taking out his tithes. God's going to get his tithe one way or the other. The tithe is the Lord. So here, if you're going to be a generous giver, you must start, first of all, paying what you owe God before you can ever give anything to God. All right, so giving begins with the first P, paying. Then the Bible says in Malachi, will a man rob God? Wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. I believe the second P of giving is what I call proving. When I pay God something, now I've been saved almost 43 years, and I've discovered something that you have too. God's good.
Amen.
And it's amazing, the more you walk with God, the more you know God, you find out he gets better and better all the time. So I start by paying my tithe. And by the way, paying is obedience. Now, you don't have to be spiritual to tithe. Just obey. All right? You're going to tithe one way or the other. All right? You either tithe in this organism called the local church, or you go to the garage, or you go to the doctor, you go someplace. God's going to get his tithe one way or the other. But he's such a great God, I want to prove to him that I love him. So the second P of giving is what I call proving. That takes sacrifice.
Right.
The God that we serve is worthy of me sacrificing some of the things of the world to be able to prove to him I love and appreciate and am thankful for all that he does in my life, and I'm willing to sacrifice to be able to give. Now, a lot of people understand tithes and offerings are given in the local church. And by the way, to be a minimal giver, you must at least pay a tithe and give some kind of an offering. God doesn't tell us how much to give to offering, but the more I know him, the better I know him, the more I'm willing to give in and through my local church. Then I think the third principle of giving is what I call pleasing. That's the attitude of the heart. Now, it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. Now, I think when it comes to tithes and offerings, that's paying and I'm proving. But when it comes to missions, that's when I'm giving in a pleasing way to God. In other words, that's not a command. That's not something I'm forced. I want to show God I love him and I love what God loves. And God loves the souls of mankind. So I want to learn how to give cheerfully. And that's what a missions conference is all about. God, I pay my tithes and I give my offerings, but I want to prove and show to you that I love what you love. I love the souls of mankind, and I want to be the best that I can be to be able to give that this plan that you've given the church will be taken around the world. So a liberal soul is one who is generous in his giving. How generous will your commitment to world evangelism be here throughout this day? All right, let's look at the second thing he says here about a liberal soul. A liberal soul is, first of all, generous in his giving. And then he goes on and says in verse number 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know what he said? A liberal soul is not only generous in his giving, but a liberal soul gains from his giving.
Amen.
It's amazing. I ought to be willing to give to God just because he's saved my ungodly soul. And I ought to be able to willing to give to him the rest of my life. But God never tells me to give something that I don't gain from it. A liberal soul not only is generous in his giving, but a liberal soul gains from his giving. Dr. Sish used to always quote this verse. Remember, you say you take it from God, and some people take it this way and put it in the pocket. Other people take it here and give it out. Well, let me tell you something. Giving hands are always receiving hands when it comes to God. I was thinking this morning, I wish I could convey to every child of God how wonderful it is to learn to give to the work of God. Amen. You don't sow something that you don't get something back. And God wants us to understand that giving hands or receiving hands, sowing bountifully, means reaping blessings. It doesn't take much to figure that out. I can't sow 25 cents and expect to get $25. You know, if you're going to sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. The other side works too. You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And the more we learn that and understand, God is never going to ask us to do something and have our hearts touched enough to do it that we're willing to step out and do it, that he doesn't bless us and we're rewarded from doing that. So giving hands or receiving hands, sowing bountifully means reaping blessings. So many people look for excuses not to give to God. I remember a number of years ago, and I've said this before here teaching over the years, but I remember a church member coming to me years ago. This was when I was pastoring, Pastor. You probably do the same thing. But anyway, I used to have a policy that if someone had a need, we as a church reach out and help them. But if somebody came in like this person did years ago and had a rent problem. So back in the little office there, I started talking to him. You can't pay your rent? No. I said, have you been paying your tithes and offerings? No, I can't afford to do that. I mean, you can't afford to. You can't afford not to do that. I said, well, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. I can't mention the person's name, but said to me, if I had what you had, I'd pay my tithes and offerings. And I said, no, if you can't tithe off the $100 a week, you're not going to tithe off $1,000 a week. And it reminded me of something I heard when I was a young Christian back in 77, 78, the story about these two friends, Rufus and his friend. Say, hey, Rufus, we're good friends, aren't we? He said, you know we're good friends. If you had $1 million, would you give me, your good friend, half of it? If I had $1 million, $500,000 would be yours. You're my good friend. Boy, that's a good friend to have. You sure we're good friends? Yes, we're good friends. If you had $100,000, would you give me, your good friend, half of it? If I had $100,000, $50,000 would be yours.
Amen.
Well, that's a good friend. You sure we're good friends? I told you we're good friends. If you had $1,000, would you give me, your good friend, half of it? If I had $1,000, $500 would be yours. Boy, that's good friendship. You sure we're good friends? I told you we're good friends. If you had $100, would you give me half of it? If I had $100, two 20s and a 10 would be yours. Man, that's good friendship. I told you we were good friends. You sure we're good friends? Of course we're good friends. He said, if you had two hogs, would you give me, your good friend, one of them? Why you ask me that? You know I got two hogs. Yeah, Lord, if I had it, I'd give it. What are you doing with what you do have? God says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. If you're generous, you'll gain from your giving. May God help us to understand, giving hands are always receiving hands.
Right.
Sowing bountifully always means you're reaping blessings. And then the last thing he says here in verse number 26, a liberal soul, I'm talking about a soul of blessing, a giving soul. He says, first of all, is generous in his giving. That's a church giver. You know, I make it a point, traveling or wherever I am, I want to make sure I get my tithes and offerings and missions into this local church and honor God. And boy, has he been good over the years. I mean, he's done so many wonderful things. And by the way, it's not always monetary things. God's a wonderful, wonderful God. You gain from your giving. But the third thing we find here is that a liberal soul is not only generous in his giving, gains from his giving, but a liberal soul is gracious in his giving. Verse 26, he says, "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." This is a picture of a corn grower who holds back selling his corn when things are scarce, waiting to get a better price. In other words, he's thinking about himself. When it comes to the work of God and it comes to missions and it comes to being liberal in my giving, I've got to understand that I need to be able and willing to give to God regardless of the circumstances. You know, that's why they call this faith promise and grace giving. You know, I'm a firm believer that we don't impress God by what we have. You know, God is not impressed. There's nothing anybody in here can do job-wise, educational-wise, or bank account-wise that's going to impress God. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I mean, he spoke the world into being. So he owns everything. So I'm not going to impress him by what I have. I'm going to impress him by the attitude of my heart. Amen. God's looking at the heart. And God says, I'm not relying upon people who are going to try to do things based upon what they have. I'm relying on people that are going to do things based upon what I have. And we need to learn to be gracious, giving in regardless of circumstances, regardless of the consequences. Let's look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll finish here and look at this great passage, this special gift that Paul writing to the church of Corinth that we've taught many, many times here. And Paul writes, gives us a letter here of an example of what really gracious giving is all about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he gives us an example of what we call an example of faith promise or an example of grace giving of the churches of Macedonia. He said in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." How many still believe his grace is still sufficient? Amen. You know, the amazing thing about grace is grace, God bestows grace upon his children, his churches, regardless of the circumstances. Yeah. In other words, when we start getting the gospel out, it's not based upon whether it's a big church, whether you have a big bank account, whether you have a job. It's based upon God pouring out his grace upon his churches and upon his children. Look at verse number 2. It says, "How that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounding into the riches of their liberality." They gave in spite of two serious issues: deep poverty, great affliction. Now, I know we don't have as much as we think we ought to have. We have one car, we think we ought to have two. We have two televisions, we think we ought to have three. And we have one credit card, we think we ought to have four or five. We think all of that. We're not poor. We're not suffering. You go to the average church today and people can't give anything to missions, but you look at the parking lot, you see every kind of car made, you know. You're saying all the things, you know. We have all the things. These people were in deep poverty, great affliction, but they gave anyway. He said in verse number 3, "For to their power," or to their authority, ability, "I bear record, and yea, beyond their poverty, they were willing of themselves." They gave two ways. First of all, they gave to their ability. In other words, they looked at the little that they had, and it was worth it to them to sacrifice from that little for the cause. But that didn't satisfy them enough. They not only gave to their ability, but they gave beyond their ability, which took faith. And by the way, most of us, if not all of us, really have never learned to give by faith. And the reason a lot of people have never learned to give by faith, because we're not willing to give from what we already have. If I have something and I'm not willing to give that, it's a waste of time to pray and ask God to give me faith to give what I don't have. All right, so they gave, and the Bible says in verse number 5, because they first gave themselves to the Lord. And that's what it's all about. So missions is not about what I have. It's all about what God has. And God wants to use all of us to be able to give for the cause of world evangelization. Now, here's something I believe with all of my heart, that the church has a responsibility given to it by Almighty God to evangelize the world. And let me say this as well. If you're not willing to get involved of the ministry of the church, to walk outside of these doors and try to win somebody to Jesus, it's a waste of time for you to ever think God's going to send you across the ocean to try to win somebody to Jesus. So it's all about ministry. This organism called the church is a beautiful, beautiful organism that's put together by Almighty God. He's the founder and the establisher of the church. And he wants all of us to understand, I've given my church a plan. That plan's authentic. I don't need a new plan. I've assured my church of a promise. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I've made available to my church my power. His power is reliable. It's dependable. It'll help me go across the street. It'll help me go to another state. It'll help me go among the difficult. It'll help me go around the world at the same time. And it hit me with that authentic plan, that assured promise, that available power. It will never be advanced without the provisions of the people of God. May God help us in this 35th Faith Promise Grace Giving Conference. Help me to ask God to help me to be a liberal giver. Amen. This time, help me to be a soul of blessing. I want to be a blessing to a lost and dying world. I need to give myself to Christ, give my support to the church, give my substance to the cause. And as I give my substance this day, help me to be known, as Solomon said, a liberal soul will be made fat or blessed by Almighty God. Let's bow our heads in prayer as Pastor comes. Our Father, the world is lost in need of the gospel. We have an authentic plan, assured promise, available power. But help us to be people that will advance the cause around the world by being liberal souls, souls of blessings, who are generous in our giving, who gain from our giving, and be gracious regardless of circumstances and conditions, to be the most generous we can be for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.